the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The true slave of Mary, the one St. Louis Marie de Montfort said, "We never give more honour to Jesus than when we honour his mother, and we honour her simply and solely to honour him all the more perfectly. We go to her only as a way leading to the goal we seek, Jesus, her son." So, Jesus is also our brother. And that's because, and made very clear to us, for those who have studied St. Francis, because at the first church, St. Damiano, that he was to repair from the cross, he received the clear locution that it is because of Mary that we are brothers to Jesus, and therefore he had a wonderful love for Mary. So Mary there showed the importance of her intercessory role and also her role as mediatrix, co-redemptrix, by cooperating like no other being. So close to God is she, that she is part of the Holy Trinity, not as a person, but through the hypostatic union, because God is inseparable and his sacred humanity inseparable from his divinity. We have coming tomorrow the Epiphany, the manifestation of our Lord, summoned because of the presence. Our Lady was in awe at the way the three wise men gave homage and adoration to the little infant who is our Saviour. This is the infant, the same body, soul and divinity present here in the altar. Every day should be an epiphany for us, because we welcome Jesus into our hearts. We, to be like those who came from the east, the three wise men, who were what some have said as New Ages, because they couldn't have grasped, otherwise how would they have known except through a direct relation or the illumination from God that Jesus the King was to be born. And they needed some confirmation, because the star which they were following no longer was, but it stopped over Jerusalem. They thought that asked Herod. Herod was frightened. He wanted to bring an end to a contestant to his kingdom. Little did they know that the infant brought into being, held into being, and owned everything that Herod had and everything on earth. However, they pursued the star, which appeared again, and they headed south. They were able to find Jesus through the star. The Hebrew of Mary, Miriam, means star, star of the sea. The star of the sea. We are to follow Mary to find Jesus. It's a mystical union, not only for us, but it shows that union of the flesh and blood which constitutes the body of our Lord from Mary. And because of this Eucharistic presence, we ourselves will come more into the divine life of our Lord by receiving him. The triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart cannot take place except in the triumph of her Son Jesus. Jesus is present in the world. People are waiting for his second coming, but he's already here. Are we adoring him? How often do we go past the church on our own way, on our own business, sometimes not even knowing where we're really going and not going to see your best friend? If truly people understood what was happening inside the church, where the presence of the Creator and Master, the Teacher, is, then they would stop and pay a visit. But we're not doing that. Perpetual Eucharistic adoration is a must. It is necessary to bring people to greater worship, like the Magi. But how far will we travel to visit Jesus? Are we prepared to set aside and go like the three wise men did, to travel vast distances against weather conditions, perhaps even danger of dying of thirst? How far are we prepared to go? Are we able to get up in the morning and go? Our Lord reveals himself by way of direct intervention, especially for those who he calls to Eucharistic adoration. We're all called, as the three wise men, pagans, were called, so also is every man on earth called to the Blessed Eucharist, because Jesus is there, God. Why do we need to go elsewhere when we go and speak to our Divine Master? In the tabernacle, under the veil of the consecrated host, there is kept the same Jesus whom our Blessed Lady was the first to see after the miracle of the resurrection. The same Jesus who, in the splendour of his divinity, appeared to the 11 apostles and to many disciples. Priests today must believe more in his presence. Priests must spread with courage and with force a priestly invitation for all to return to the Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. A strong witness of faith is required by the priests. What greater example is there than a priest preaching in little words but being present in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? What is the message there? The Divine Master, the one who we are to die for, the one who gave us salvation, the one we love more. We need to pray for priests. We need to lead them to the Eucharist. Today, more than ever, priests must be witnesses of a strong faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We all know how great and serious is the scourge of apostasy, not only for the faithful, but also the priests. How many of you are making the effort? Why not go to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and pray for the church here on earth, asking him to restore the faith in those that are lacking, and those inerrancies and those little errors, rather than criticising? Go on your knees before our Lord and ask that he softens the heart. To love Jesus, you need a maternal heart. To have that maternal heart, Our Lady is part of the formula. We need to give our lives to God in order to bring about salvation in the world. How many abuses and sacrileges there are, how many negligences, and the very widespread phenomena even of black masses. Priests must form a presence of reparation and make up for the great emptiness that has grown in front of the tabernacle, so that Jesus may become once again the centre of our day. The apostle of the rosary
Blessed John Paul II integrates the rosary very much with Eucharistic adoration. The rosary is also a path to the proclamation of increasing knowledge. But Jesus exposed in the Blessed Sacrament on the altar, our senses are awakened, more so than he is in the tabernacle. Though he is truly present in both locations, we need to have Jesus on the altar exposed, because our sensory knowledge is such which gives us greater impetus to understand through the eyes of faith the substance which is that truly the body, blood, soul, divinity in the piece of bread which appears as bread but is truly Jesus, consecrated by the words of consecration at the elevation of the host. The history of the rosary shows how this prayer can be used. In particular, it was used by the Dominicans to break the heresy of Jansenism. Today we're facing new challenges, and the strength of the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament is a way in which to break these heresies. There are little perky differences which we have. Our youth, very important, at the centre and summit of all apostolic life, be adoration, of course the Mass. But to be empty of oneself means going to confession, and with youth gatherings it's important to have confession. How are they to go through a conversion experience if they're praying but without confessing their sins? At that very moment, in the confessional, a person is born again if they are in serious sin. And the whole of Satan is broken, but they need to continue to avail themselves, and it is up to us to make available the sacrament to the youth at all of their locations and conferences. The prayer of the rosary possesses a potent force and starts a chain of reactions in good that is so far more powerful than any atomic reaction. The prayer, of course, that we're talking about is the Holy Rosary. Eucharistic adoration and the Mass will lead people into a deeper relationship with Jesus. We need holy priests in order to sustain vocations. We need parents prepared to make sacrifices. I recall back in 1991, there at Mirrabooka, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they started adoration. Actually, it was perpetual, but there was a family there, and they would pray with their son. They were prepared to start way before the hour that they were to commence work, to go there and pray with their son, and he came out to be a famous priest. I saw many other occasions where the parents were prepared to sacrifice their hours and go and pray with their sons, pray the rosary together. They need the support of parents. They need the support of prayerful people. But you've got to make the sacrifice for them. You see the contradictions and the errors that are going on. But are you doing more than complain? Are you going to our Lord, the Blessed Sacrament, and asking him, begging him to bring a change in the heart? Are you praying for vocations? Once one enters, that's only the start. You need to continue fervently so that the vocations maintain. How many are lost? They make a discernment retreat, but then fall for an attractive lady. Marriage is a sacrament, but at the same time, the devil can lure people into the lusts of life rather than direct them further. So you need to continue to pray and discern and create opportunities for the people to further their vocation.
The Eucharist is always in some way celebrated on the altar of the world. It unites heaven and earth.
it embraces and permeates all creation. The Son of God became man in order to restore all creation in one supreme act of praise. To the one who made it from nothing, to the eternal high priest, who by the blood of his cross has entered into our hearts. In other words, you speak to him. You go to him, you ask him, you plead for what it is that you're seeking, and yes, he will let you have a taste. But it may not be really where he's calling you to. A taste of goodness he will give you, of course. He's not capable of anything other. Freemasonry is a work of the devil. It is not permitted for a Freemason to receive Holy Communion. Freemasonry is a force which wants to apostatize the real presence, and hence we have many errors as to what really is the consecrated host. In order to receive Jesus, you need to be in sanctifying grace. The Eucharist will be the source from which will burst forth all divine power and will become the new sun. The burst of energy which comes from the sun, the burst of light which hits the moon at night and permeates the darkness of the earth. There's Our Lady, there's the relationship. Our Lady's been introduced into the whole cosmic spiritual warfare because God did it that way. In order for the light of Christ to come, even though we don't know it, even though we may deny it, it still is. The grace that comes from the Eucharist, as I stand here, is coming through Our Lady because God deemed her to be the mediatrix of all graces. That's ordinary magisterial teaching. So, just today, as we contemplate the three wise men who have come to welcome Jesus into the world, and we also contemplate that the great sacrifice made by those holy innocents. Many people want to terminate the life of the unborn. May we contemplate Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament, the same Jesus of the Epiphany, and realise that life comes into the world through our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.